Good morning, everyone. It's Pastor Ian here again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Today we are celebrating Jesus' resurrection. We're celebrating his return to life, his return from death. The day that he conquered death, the day that he showed us that this is not the end, or at least it doesn't need to be the end. We have here our story in Luke chapter 24 of remarkable faith. And Jesus choosing to show us the way. Now, where we left off on Good Friday, we had Jesus buried, dead and buried, and his disciples were scattered. They were disheartened. Their Messiah, the one that they thought would save them, was crucified, was nailed to a cross, was tortured, beaten, and broken, and, yes, died. And the people seemed to rejoice at his death. They said, yes, we'd rather have him die than anybody else. And we see the faithlessness of his disciples, the faithlessness of the people. And yet, we begin today with an act of faith, an act of trust, an act of love. Because as you start reading Luke chapter 24. Follow along with me because it's an incredibly long chapter, so I'll be trying to go over as much of it as I can. But there is something interesting that happens. So, per tradition, once you had a dead body, you were expected to, you know, if you truly loved the person, to anoint their body with oils, to make them smell super sweet. And so these women, who are not relatives of Jesus, by the way, they're women who have been following Jesus, who are basically like his disciples, his followers. They head out early Easter morning because they're expecting. They're thinking, oh man, we have to go see Jesus. So these women, they know that Jesus is dead. They know that he's in the tomb. And they go anyways because they want to prepare his body. They want to put all sorts of nice, pleasant oils. And so they go. They didn't have to. The movement was done. The movement was dead. There was going to be no Messiah who comes from the line of David to return the people back to ruling in their own country, be free from the Romans. There was none of that. It was done. It was finished. The movement was over. Everything that Jesus had been preaching about, everything he had been teaching about, it was finished. There was no way it could continue because the Messiah, the one that they had been following, the one they were praying for, was dead. But they go anyways. Out of love, out of devotion to Jesus, they go to his tomb. And what interests me the most is that God chooses to reveal this to women. It's one of the markers that the gospel accounts are not just mere fabrications, but they are more an accurate reflection of what happens. It's because nobody would pick women to tell the story. Now, I don't say that because I'm sexist or because I think women are not trustworthy or anything like that. But from their perspective, in this time period, nobody would have trusted the word of women. And in fact, notice what the disciples do after the fact. So the women go and they see that the tomb is not full, but it's empty. It's empty. There's nothing there. All there is the burial cloth. No body. No Jesus. It's gone. Now, if you're in their position, you might think, okay, well, just because the body's gone, it doesn't mean that Jesus is gone. If anything, it just means people have stolen his body. They've desecrated his body. And that's sad. But notice what happens. They turn around, and who do they run into? Two people who look like something special and extraordinary. Luke doesn't tell us exactly who these men are. All he does say is that they are dressed with gleaming clothes. And their appearance is so frightening that the women actually fall onto their faces and put their faces in the dirt. Because that's how holy they seem. So out of this world. The implication is that these are not humans. They're angels. And as the women have their faces in the ground, the men look at them and say, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Do you not remember what Jesus spoke of, about how he would be handed over, how he'd be crucified, and how in 3 days he would rise again? The women are the first people to hear the good news, the first people to hear of the resurrection, the first people. and they are also the least likely to be believed. Now, that isn't because they are not trustworthy. It's because culturally, nobody would believe them. And that's what happens. They go back to the disciples and they say, the tomb is empty. They tell them what they have seen, what they have heard, and the men don't believe. They don't believe. And so Peter runs over as quickly as he can to the tomb, and he too finds it empty. The women were faithful to Jesus. They went to the tomb. They saw first that Jesus was not dead, that he was risen. Now in Luke's gospel, they continue. The story continues. Some of the disciples are walking down the road, and Jesus actually encounters them on the road. But his identity is hidden from them. So they continue, and he speaks with them, and they talk, and they're discussing about how Jesus has died, and then this risen Lord, this risen Savior, this risen Jesus, he actually begins to explain to them everything about himself. And they are so amazed at his teaching that they invite him over for dinner. And so, of course, he goes to dinner, and he sits and he eats, and at the moment of his choosing, they realize who it is, and then he's gone. What's interesting is that Jesus chooses when to reveal himself. He doesn't just allow anybody to see him immediately. He has to choose to let the disciples on the road see him. God is in control of who will know who he is. And so the disciples continue, and all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them while they're meeting together, and he asks them for food, for drink. And it's interesting that the reason why is because it's possible for their, in their mentality, that they could have God who was actually not physical, not a human being. There's something where you're thinking, well, maybe, you know, he could be alive in spirit, but not physically alive. And so Jesus chooses to take food, to eat fish. There is this understanding that he is actually proving his humanity, that he's not just some spirit who appears, but that he is actually human and alive. The resurrection is a time when people's faith is strengthened, because it is unnatural. It is illogical. How could something like this even happen? How does even one come back from the dead? But what matters is that it happens. And in fact, the Apostle Paul puts such a high priority on the resurrection that he says in 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians that if the resurrection is not real, if the raising of the dead is not real, then all our preaching is in vain. Everything is in vain, because if the dead cannot be raised, then Christ is never raised, and if he is never raised, then all of our faith is meaningless. And in fact, we are worse off than anyone else because we are liars. The resurrection is so important because without it, there is no point. There is no point to the crucifixion if there is no resurrection. There is no point to Jesus' ministry if he doesn't prove that he alone can conquer death. And he can, and he does. By conquering the death, Jesus shows us the way that even though, yes, like all humans, we die, but Jesus comes back. He is risen from the death. Continuing in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The idea is that because we see with our own eyes Jesus coming back from the dead, that there is the possibility that we too can escape death. You know, it's something that we all share. As human beings, we all share that same fate, that we are one day going to die. We don't know when, we don't know where, we don't know how. The only thing we do know is that it will happen, one way or the other. And there can be a certain amount of fear that comes with any type of sickness or disease or illness that's common to all people. The fear is, what if this is it? What if we get one life and then we're done? What if my loved ones, what if they die and I never get to see them again? What if I never get to hold them again? How many thousands of people have died this week? Of natural causes, unnatural causes, of this virus or another, cancer, heart attacks, whatever it is, we see that human life is finite, that it does not go on forever. And there can be a fear that comes with death. And there's a certain human element that wants to protect our families and our children from this belief that, you know what, yeah, we will one day die. There's that fear of death that we want to extinguish. And Jesus sees us in our fear and says, death is not the end. It doesn't have to be the end. The resurrection is so powerful because it proves to us that that fear, that most natural fear that we have, does not need to reign in our lives. That by dying for us and by being risen, by being raised from the dead, Jesus proves to us that God has the power to conquer our death, to give us life where instead we would normally just be dead in the ground. That there's a possibility for eternal life. On Good Friday, we remember Christ's sacrifice. We remember the suffering. But on Good Friday, we rejoice. Hooray! Hosanna! Hallelujah! Praise God! Because it means this is not it. This is not the end. That the consequences of our sin does not mean we must die, but that we too can be risen and raised from the dead by God. On Good Friday, we were left with a crucified God, a God who was nailed to the cross for our sins, a God who seemed to have lost to evil. But in reality, we know that that's not the case. We see a God who is abandoned, rejected, forsaken. All these words we use are negative, because that's the implication of Good Friday. The implication is that something tragic and terrible has happened. The reverse is true on Easter morning. On Easter morning, we rejoice because we serve a risen Savior and a crucified Savior. It's these two sides of the coin that makes our faith so fascinating. We don't just serve a risen God, a God who overcomes death, but we serve a God who is crucified, who died for us. If we don't have a crucifixion, we don't have a resurrection. If we don't have the sadness, we can't have the joy. The women went to the tomb and they found it empty, but instead their hearts were filled with joy because the living were not among the dead. Jesus was no longer dead in the tomb, waiting for the slow decay of time. But he was alive and well and rejoicing that sin's power was broken, that we no longer had to suffer anymore. Suffer the penalty of sin. Instead, we get something better. We get the truth that God conquers all. On Easter, we rejoice that Jesus came back for us. That he didn't just die and then go to heaven and say, see, I'm gone. That he comes back to encourage his people. He comes back for us. He loves us enough to die for us, but also to come back. And even think about the forgiveness that he gives. Imagine being with your disciple after they abandon you and you get tortured and they don't even have the decency to stand by you, and Jesus comes back. He embraces them as friends. He shows them his hands, his side. He breaks bread with them like he did before. This was not the end, but it was the beginning. We live in a world that is surrounded by fear, a fear of death, a fear of suffering, a fear of pain. We are motivated by those things because we are human, but because Jesus conquered the grave, that does not have to be what defines us. One of the most dangerous things in the world as someone who believes in something greater than themselves, who's not limited to living a safe and normal life. The power of the resurrection is that we can live our lives free of that fear. Because what's the worst that happens? You die, and then God can raise you to be with Him. Any illness sends me further on my way, speeds up the process. If I suffer, it brings me closer to God. I'm more like Him. I can have my identity connected with Him. Doesn't mean you're always going to like it. But with Christ, we have that possibility. We have that future. We have the freedom that nobody else will have. What can you do to me? The resurrection is powerful because it defies all odds. We celebrate today Easter morning, Easter Sunday, because God wins. He conquers the grave. He defeats Satan. He beats back all the forces of evil. He takes sin's power and He breaks it in His hand. Because of His death, our sin is dealt with. But because He returns, we have a future that we can hold on to and say, because Jesus is risen, because He is alive and well, sitting at the right hand of the Father, we can believe that that is happening to us as well. So when our friends die, or our family, or our wives, or our children, or all of the tragic things of this world, it's not the end. It's the beginning of the next part, the next stage of our journey. We celebrate that God won the battle for our heart. And I love that God acknowledges our doubt. He recognizes it. In another gospel, there's one of the disciples, Thomas. He says he will never believe unless he can actually physically see and touch the holes in Jesus' wrists and His hands. And when Jesus appears to the disciples, He says to Thomas, He says, Thomas, you want? Come here. You can look. You can see. You can touch. It's easy to say the resurrection is unbelievable because we've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen someone come back from the dead. But the Gospels are believable enough to me. From what I know of Jesus, from what I've experienced in my life, yes, it may seem unbelievable, but I will choose to believe it because God has revealed Himself to us through His Word, through the many actions of His people. We see on the road that the disciples could not see Jesus without Him. And this is the encouragement to us, that if we know Jesus, if we have seen Him, if we know Him in our heart, then that means that God has chosen to reveal Himself to us. And that means for those of us who have family members or friends who don't know Jesus, who are still living in their sin, there is that hope that yes, maybe they don't know now, but that with God they can too know the freedom that comes by serving a resurrected Savior, by serving a God who conquered death and who lives still for us. My friends, Easter is a time of celebrating. Now, I typically, during Easter, we'll watch a movie called Risen, which came out a few years ago. It's on Netflix, and if you have the time, I encourage you to watch it, because it shows you the life of a skeptic, somebody who doesn't believe, who chooses to investigate for themselves, who chooses to see for themselves if the resurrection is real, or if Jesus' body is just stolen by His disciples. And you get to see the life of a Roman centurion. And you get to see the life of a Roman, somebody who has no reason to believe in Jesus at all, uncover for himself the truth. And I watch it because that movie encourages my heart and gives me strength. That yes, there are some days when we might not feel the best, when we might be afraid of our lives or what comes next. But my encouragement to you, if God has conquered the grave, then what can he not do? No matter what is on your heart, no matter what burden, no matter what struggle, no matter what challenge is before you, there is no thing that can keep you from God's love. And if he has loved you enough to die for you and be risen from the grave for your sake, so that you can be free of sin, then what else will he do for you now? Wish you all happy Easter. God bless you and your family. And let us sing together the many songs that we have prepared, the worship songs. Let's worship from our heart. Not because we have to, not because the fine people have prepared songs, but because Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Amen.